In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Well, our gospel is long, our text is rich, our time is kind of short because this service is so full. And our Lord, He is merciful, and He is gracious, and He is with us. There are plenty of things that would make a Lutheran person nervous. I'm confident of that. I know that. But let me name just two today. The first one is this, and this sounds strange coming out to begin with, but too much God talk. What I mean by that is too much sort of generic God talk. God this and God that, but you might say, which God are we talking about? Even on this mountain, we could go to a worship service in a different building on a different day. We could use those three letters God, and yet we could have an entirely different confession as to which God we are talking about. And so for Lutherans, too much sort of vague, generic God talk tends to make us nervous. The second is this, maybe glory talk. It is in the scriptures for sure. Give God the glory. But somehow we take a note like that from scriptures, and at times the Christian church in any number of places, including maybe churches like this, has turned that into the main theme, then the main note. Give God the glory. And we begin to do it, but then we begin to be haunted by some questions. How exactly do we give God the glory? Have we glorified Him fully today? Have we glorified Him fully in general? Did we do it? How much is enough? On both of those accounts, kind of vague God talk, being nervous about that, and quite honestly, being nervous at times about glory talk, on account of both of those things, it's good to be with you today in the Gospel of John. Of course, John simply doesn't stomach generic God talk. John is laser focused on Jesus. It began in chapter 1 as he talked with us about the Word becoming flesh, God taking on flesh. And having said that, when God takes on flesh, now we know this God who takes on flesh, and yes, His name is Jesus. And John also will teach us that when we get Jesus, we get all of God. Jesus tells us that, he'll tell us later in John, not exactly our text today, but he says to his disciples, if you have seen me, if you have known me, then you have seen and known the Father as well. And right in around that same area later in the Gospel of John, he says, and after a little while, and this has already taken place at Pentecost, after a little while, I will send a helper, an advocate, my Spirit. And so, for John, when you get Jesus, you get all of God. Specific God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. How so? Because of the person and work of Jesus and the scriptures that speak of Him, and even the baptism which we receive, that being received in baptism, we are baptized directly into Jesus. And again, if we're with Jesus, then we're with the Father and we're with the Holy Spirit. And we're not talking generic God talk or maybe confusing God talk, but specifically about this God, the God of creation, the God of redemption, the God who is coming again. All of which brings us to our text again today. We've got Mary and Martha and Lazarus. We've got Jesus and His disciples and glory. One of those words that often brings nervousness to Lutherans. Let's run down the text again, I hope briefly, more briefly than reading all 45 verses, but let me read the first four again. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to Him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, He said, here's the glory talk, by the way, the illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. And of course, you heard all of the rest of the text. Jesus loved them all, Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and yet stayed away for 2 days. And then He announced to His disciples, said, let's go. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. He says a few verses later, verse 14, Lazarus has died, and for your sake, I am glad that I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him. And Jesus went, and Martha met him on the way, and then eventually Mary came out too, and there was the confrontation of Jesus. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Then Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. And they took Jesus to the tomb, and there it was. There's your trivia, kids. Most of you know it, but in case you don't, what's the shortest verse in the Bible? We got it here today. Jesus wept. Jesus cried. Jesus cried. And Jesus ordered the stone away, and Jesus called out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said, unbind him and let him go to new life. Well, we've nearly covered the whole long gospel text again. It's verse 4, right near the beginning, that really caught my attention, and I bring to you for our attention. But when Jesus heard it, he said, the illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Yes, the Gospel of John takes up the topic of glory and does it in a way that can even calm and, more than that, excite a stodgy Lutheran, right? There is glory. God the Father is glorified. And how does he do it? It's done when he sends his son Jesus to do work amongst the very people he sent them to. And what kind of work does Jesus do? He brings to life those who are dead. He brings forgiveness to all of those who are stained with guilt and shame. He brings salvation to a world that apart from him stands already condemned. John 3:16, 17, and 18. And he does this through Jesus, who died on the cross and yet rises and is the resurrection and the life. And when Jesus does this, which he's always in the habit of doing, coming to the world, coming to sinners, coming to people, when Jesus comes, he brings to life and forgives and brings salvation. All of this brings glory. Glory to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Just yesterday, Megan and I had the privilege, I think it was a privilege, strange place, but I'm going to call it a privilege. We went to Pioneer Town for the first time ever. All right? We went to Pioneer Town. I jogged in a group. Well, they called it a race. I said, that's a little bit too much for me. You know, I wasn't competing. I was looking to complete. All right? And I did it. With a few hundred other people, it was for cancer research benefit for the John Wayne Cancer Foundation. They call it their True Grit series. Kind of fun playing off John Wayne. I was there out of thankfulness for the health brought to Megan last fall. A diagnosis of breast cancer, 2 surgeries, then just a few days before Christmas, a lot of good news, but that first big surgery was on 11/18/2022. So I was there out of gladness, right? To support a cause, to be thankful for all those who brought good gifts to bear on her life. And as I lined up there near, well, I was kind of at the back, all right? And when you start with these things, you kind of walk for a while until the whole crowd gets jogging. But as I lined up there back, there was a gentleman right by me wearing a gray shirt. And there on that gray shirt, clearly maybe painted on by hand, but it was clearly done by hand, said Barb. And it said 11/22/2022. I was there celebrating life, and I didn't get to talk with this gentleman, but I got the distinct impression that whoever Barb was, likely a wife or a sister or a friend or a daughter, who knows, he was there to run for her. Whether I liked it or not, I was reminded that even as I was celebrating life, death is coming for us all. For some, it is a slow slide, even decades long. Maybe an elderly grandmother, as we had recently, after years of decline and dementia, now death comes to her. For others, death pursues and hunts us hard for a season, a vicious season. Sometimes death takes over in that season. Sometimes we evade it for a time. And for others of us still, death will come all at once when nobody, whosoever is expecting it. And it's not just a problem where we've become victims to this death which hunts us, but rather, we really follow through in the scriptures a little bit earlier in the book of Romans from what Brian read for us today. Romans 3 would tell us that the wages of sin is death. Death hunts for all of us, and quite frankly, we deserve it. We do it. That's what the scriptures bear up. That's really what the probably front page bears up as we look at news, whether locally, regionally, internationally. That's what the mirror bears up when we have those moments in those days that we look into it and we're honest. The wages of sin is death. Death hunts us and we deserve it. Yet the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, who paid the wages of our sin on the cross and broke the bonds of death in his resurrection. Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. For where and when thou, Jesus, shows up, he brings life, and the glory of God is revealed. For God is at work in Jesus for the glory of God. Dear people of Shepherd in the Pines, guests and friends today, here, even in this room, we have witnessed the glory of God. Because Jesus has shown up again here today. Two or three gathered in his name. Suppose he's doing it all across the valley this morning, sometimes in homes, certainly in churches, all across the world on this, the day of the resurrection Sunday. Jesus shows up one more day where he's faithful to do it. And he has the power of life and salvation in his hands, yet he doesn't wield it like a party trick. For I'm here to tell you that if I had resurrection and life in my hands and I showed up to Mary and Martha, and they're grieving over their brother. Do you know what I think I would do? Probably many of you as well. Would probably give a happy lecture to Mary and Martha. Don't be sad. Watch this, right? Like we've got the ultimate party trick. Jesus doesn't show up that way with Mary and Martha. And he doesn't show up to the church that way either when we mourn. Mourn the death of our loved ones. When we mourn our own mortality, when we mourn sickness and death, he doesn't show up and say, "Church, don't mourn. Watch this." No, Jesus shows up and he weeps and he grieves. And then he calls Lazarus to new life. I'm going to possibly embarrass him now, but Corey, he's done this for you today. Baptized into the death and the life of Jesus, he's called you to new life. It's a miracle in our midst, something of his own making. And in the coming months in this place, due to due dates on the calendar, Lord willing, some babies will come forward to the font as well and receive the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a new birth from death to life, and hopefully, prayerfully, more adults as well. And we witness the glory of God as a church again today, also later in the service, when Jesus again puts his body and blood into our mouths for forgiveness, strength, union with Christ and his church. And if the Lord is patient, brothers and sisters in Christ, in his coming, then the day will come when we too will die. Our life will have run its course, at least its first course. Yet that won't be the end of it. For Jesus will come again, and God will be glorified again, when Jesus cries out, "Rick, rise up. Janice, rise up. Caleb, rise up." So today, we receive a Jesus who is at work among us. When Jesus is at work, we get the fullness of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And when Jesus is at work, we see the glory of God, forgiveness, life and salvation given to sinners. I haven't been a member here long, but I've been here long enough to know that you qualify, right? And so do I. And we confess that very same thing today. This Jesus, our Jesus, is at work here today in our midst. And this Jesus, our Jesus, will be at work tomorrow. As we serve our neighbors and they serve us, generally speaking, yes. But especially, he'll be at work in our lives and through our lives tomorrow when he uses our mouths and the mouths of our brothers and sisters in Christ to deliver his promises, his words, his gifts to each other and to others. God make it so in Jesus. And in Jesus at work, we behold the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is good news. And this is a great life that we have been raised to. Together we say, Amen.